こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、アメリカで10代の若者たちが洗濯洗剤の液体ポットを食べる様子を撮影した動画が次々とソーシャルメディア上にアップされており、アメリカ政府が洗濯洗剤はおやつではありません。有害物質を食べないでくださいと呼びかける事態となっています。10代の若者が液体ポットを摂取した事故について今月だけで39件が報告されており、 YouTube は関連動画を削除する対策を取り始めました。
American teenagers are uploading videos of themselves either eating or appearing to eat laundry detergent packets or Tide Pods, prompting a statement by the government that laundry pods are not a snack, don't eat poison.There have been at least 39 reported instances of teenagers eating Tide Pods this month, prompting YouTube to begin removing Tide Pod-related content.
自然淘汰かなっていう感じなんですけども、うん、あの日本でも使ってる人いると思うけど、あの液体ポットって言ってこう水溶性のプラスチックに液体の洗剤が入ってて、それをそのまま洗濯機にポイッと入れるとそのプラスチックが溶けて洗剤が使えるっていう洗濯用の洗剤なんだけど、もちろんプラスチックは水溶性なので口の中に入れるとまあ簡単に溶けるし、まあちょっと噛めばすぐ破れるんだよね。その様子をまあ撮影して、なぜかそれが流行っちゃったっていう感じなんだけど。
How did this start out? They look appetizing?You saw pictures of the Tide Pods, right?
全然美味しそうではないよね。
But they're kind of colorful. They look like a snack or something.
まあ青とオレンジのなんかインクが入っていて、まあ美味しそうではないけどね、別に。
But if laundry detergent pods did not exist and you saw a picture of that.
あ、そう、でもあの昔から子供とか、あのちょっとなんだろう、地方みたいなのが進んじゃってる老人とかが間違えて食べちゃうっていうケースは毎年何件かあって、まあ、ただ年間を通してだいたい数十件とかだったんだけど、今今年は今月だけでも39件だから結構なスピードだよね。だから昔からこういうことする人はいたんだろうけど、そのなんていうの、自分の地域のコミュニティの中で一人おバカさんがやって終わるぐらい、ただそれがネットでみんなが見ちゃうと、あ、じゃあうちもやろう、うちもやろうみたいな感じで変な風に広まっちゃうからっていうのがある。
I saw pizza and people were making Tide Pod pizza.
Ew.
They actually are baking them into different things.
私なんか生で食べてるやつを何個か見たけど、まあ3人とかで、せーので、
Really? It's like a it's like heaven's gate or something.
でもちろん食べれないんだよね。あのもうすぐにバーって吐き出す感じだけど、ただ若干摂取しちゃってるし、間違えて結構大量に飲んじゃったりすると、もちろん呼吸器障害、神経障害とか気絶しちゃったりとか、まあ、体には絶対に良くない。
How many does it take to kill you, or the average person? What's the LD50 on Tide Pods?
わかんない。まあ、しかも子供だとね、体がまだちっちゃかったりするから余計少しの量でも害があるだろう。てか何なんだろうね、これは。なんかその政府がわざわざさ、食べないでくださいって言わなきゃいけないっていうのもバカバカしいけどね。いや、
So what do you think is at the root of this phenomenon?
まあでも最近多いよね、こういうこうちょっと話題を呼ぶになるというか、危険なこととかをやって、まあ、like とか view を稼ぐみたいな。
It was a meme. I mean, I guess it still is. The Tide Pod meme. And I think, you know, people just thought that they looked delicious. And so there were pictures of Tide Pods built or incorporated into different dishes.
あれをでもなんか美味しいと思うのはすごい、美味しそうに見えるっていうのは結構アメリカ人的な感覚だよね、多分。あのケーキとかもすごい原色とかさ、好きじゃんアメリカは。日本はどっちかっていうとゲータレードとか、 もう真オレンジとか真っ青とかはすごい好きじゃん。
If it glowed in the dark, then it would be a wrap. Like all Americans would want to put that in their bodies.
日本はこう原色の食べ物とかあんまり好きじゃないし、美味しそうって思わないから、多分日本人はタイのポット見ても美味しそうと思わないと思うんだよね。それはなんか文化の違いだなって。
American snacks have really bright colors and really American advertising is trying to grab your attention.
Yeah. あ、だからハリボーのグミとかもアメリカで売ってるハリボーのグミと日本で売ってるハリボーのグミと色が違うじゃん。
Oh, really?
日本はもうちょっとこう薄い色なんだけど、緑色とかももうちょっと自然っぽいけど、アメリカのグミの緑って本当の緑じゃん。
Yeah.
毒々しいっていうか。
It looks unreal. Like it doesn't really...
それやっぱちっちゃい時から食べて慣れてるから美味しそうって思うんだろうけど、私は嫌だもん。
My first experience was, well, in the 90s, we had all these really colorful cereals and different snacks that would use colors to try to get your attention.
Yeah.
We had these popsicles that were like very distinctly colored, white,red and blue and rainbow colors.
Yeah. 日本で多分独特しい色ついてんのってお祭りのかき氷のシロップぐらいだよね。あれが多分もうマックスじゃない？あとはパプシコとかも結構薄い色にあえてしてると思うよ。
That's true.
ジュースとかもさ。
Gatorade is really...
Gatorade 本当にまずそうに見えるもん。
They get crazy with those colors.
なんかこう生理的に受け付けないっていうかさ、私からすると。
I think they should stop. It's like the marketing strategies of getting people to select your food product off the shelf have carried over into these other products. And so when you're standing in the aisle of Walmart trying to decide which detergent to get, and you see these...Your eyes are going to be attracted to
like,
these
ooh, yummy looking.
colorful looking. You know, it's no different. You know, you can have a mom there looking at it and having a similar reaction that a 12-year-old would have to, you know, fruit roll-up or something, you know, Captain Crunch or one of those things.
そうね。次。14世紀に全世界で流行し、欧州や中国で人口の半分が死亡した伝染病ペストについて、これまでネズミからノミを介して人間に感染が拡大したと考えられてきましたが、米国科学アカデミー起用に掲載されたオスロ大学とフェラーラ大学の共同研究で、原因はネズミではなく人間であった可能性が大きいことが分かりました。14世紀から19世紀にかけて発生した9件のペストの大規模感染の死亡データをもとに、様々な感染方法のシミュレーションを行ったところ、ネズミからの感染や空気感染よりもシラミを介した人間同士の感染が一番早く広がり、現実に近い結果となっていました。
The Black Plague, which spread across the world, killing half the populations of Europe and China, may not have been spread by fleas riding on the backs of mice, as previously thought. Joint research by Oslo University and Ferrara University, published in the American Academy of Sciences,suggests that rats were not spreading the fleas, but rather the cause was unsanitary humans. Using mortality data on the 9 major plagues that occurred between the 14th and 19th centuries, the researchers built a simulation which indicated that rather than being spread by mice or being airborne, infection via lice would produce a greater infection rate and be a closer match to the mortality data.
So, ネズミを介すってなるとやっぱりどうしても人間と人間の間にネズミが入ってこないといけないわけで、それよりは当然人間から人間の方が早い、でまあそれが実際のデータとマッチしてるから、ノミとかシラミとかだったんじゃないか。
It can't be both, or I guess that would be unlikely.
まあどっちもなのかもしれないけど、その今までネズミがもう主な元凶みたいな感じ、なんか基本ネズミのせいみたいにされてたけど、いやそこまでじゃなくて、 人間同士。
なんかね、So it's not fleas, it's lice?
Fleas and lice だけど、lice のモデルが一番現実のデータに近い。
Are lice? Lice aren't fleas?
No.
What is the relationship? What is the...
Lice はあの髪の毛とかにつく方。
Right. The white stuff, right?
Yeah.
And...
Fleas はもうちょっとなんか布製品とか、いやいや、あのベッドとかについてる。なんか何年か前にも別の研究で、あの、まあ人なんじゃない、ネズミより人だったんじゃないかって言われてる研究もあって、それはなんかヨーロッパのどっかの小さい村に着目して、そこはなんかロンドンから持ってきた布についてたのみがその村に持ち込まれて感染が広がっちゃったんだけど、なんかその村を封鎖してもう人を入れないし出さないようにしたんだって、
うん、
そしたら結構みんな大丈夫だったっていうケースがあって、うん、だからそれで、あ、人じゃんみたいな、
うん、Well, we're saying 人 but we mean lice, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But lice don't kind of run across the ground andhide in the garbage, so we don't, we're saying humans, but it's, you know, I don't know how lice transfer between people. I guess you
lice
rub
can,
your head and...
Lice can transfer very easily. 日本でもたまに小学校とかで、あの、シラミ流行っちゃうこととかあって。
They don't fly, right?
あ、でもね、そんなにこう、なんていうの、頭同士を擦るとかしなくても、本当にがクラス内とかで、ぴょんぴょんって多分飛んでんのかなんか知らないけど、結構すぐにね移っちゃうんだよね。
I feel like I've been confusing lice and like dandruff and like I don't know.
Dandruff is not alive, right?
I know, I know.
Lice はあの、あとその簡単には取れないんだよね、mm. なんか見えてるのを取っただけじゃ卵が産みつけられてるから、なかなか駆除できなくて、まあ特殊な薬使ったりとかしないといけないんだけど、まあ例えば病院とかで同じベッドに寝ちゃうとかさ、
うん、
この14世紀の話だけどね、とか、あの、なんかこう、
But it's more direct transmission, like human contact.
うん、それで簡単に、多分同じ空間にいるだけで移っちゃうから、
うん、
ってなるとまあすごいスピードで感染が拡大したのもそっかっていう感じって。
Pandemics are so...
ね、今だと想像できないよね。その、まあ、ヨーロッパの人口の3分の2から3分の3、あ、3分の1から3分の
2 3分の3
全3分の1から3分の2が死んじゃったって言われていて、なんか本当に知り合いの半分がもうみんな死んじゃうみたいな状況だから、うん、なかなか想像しがたいけど実際に起きたことだから。
Well, they say in some ways, certain infections, certain diseases cannot spread as easily now as they could before.
Mm.
But there are certain kinds of diseases or viruses that may be able to spread more effectively now than before.
そうね、飛行機とかあるしね。
Yeah. Have you played that game called Plague?
Yeah.
It's like all I can think about when I read about this stuff.
グリーンランドとかさ、なかなか難しいんだよね。
It's tough.
あの、人が少ないし、寒いしみたいな。
But it doesn't mean you should start in Greenland. That's a bad idea.
いろいろやったことある私。やっぱりアジア一番危ない。人多いし、一瞬でも広がっちゃう。
It's interesting all the different strategies that diseases develop to try to increase their transmission.Birds, for example, will give it a different pattern of transmission than mice would or rats、mm-hmm. would. And that would be different than, let's say, if it was a disease very comfortable in water, it would have to be quite strong in dry environments to travel in airplanes.They're out there and they're evolving right now. You know, so if we do nothing, I think the probability that we would be wiped out by a pandemic disease is it's just a matter of time. But as long as we're paying attention, we could prevent that indefinitely, I
yeah.
think.
最近なんか日本でもシフィリスがすごい流行ってる。
Really?
らしくて、梅毒。まあ昔だと本当にね、死んじゃう人とかいるけど、今もでも、こう最近、ゴノリアとかもね、あの、スーパーゴノリアみたいな、こう、抗生物質効かない、性病みたいな、とか結構広がってます
から。Yeah. Well, they say, like, one of the biggest problems is that we're building these super bugs, is that when people don't take their full course of antibiotics,
yeah.
they kill the weakest 95% of that population. And then you have that remaining 5% repopulates itself and yeah. then is transmitted. And you do that over and over in a population. It doesn't take very long before they're much more resistant than before.
それを言ってるのになんかやっぱりすぐ抗生物質くれる先生もいるもんね。
I don't feel like it's changed that much.
うん。あとなんか前に膀胱炎になった時に抗生物質もらって、一応ググったら、なんか膀胱炎にはもう使わない方がいいってされてる。あのすごい強いから。っていうのをあの海外でも言われてるし、日本でも言われてるやつだったの。で、なんでそれをくれるんだよって思って。
Yeah.
なんか Yeah, I was like, no. でもそれもそれしか持ってないからそれ飲むしかなかったけど。
Do you think pandemic disease is still the number one existential threat or is it AI now?
それ比べられないでしょ。
But it was clear before pandemic disease. I mean, I think there was kind of a general consensus that if something wipes out the human race, it's not going to be aliens.It's probably not going to be a nuclear war. It's most likely to be a pandemic disease.
I right? think it's aliens.
Well.
Period.
Maybe. It could be an alien disease.
Oh yeah, that sucks. それめっちゃ嫌だね。でも確かにあのネイティブアメリカンの人もさ、あのイギリス人がいっぱいアメリカ大陸に来た時に変な病気いっぱい持ってきてたくさん死んじゃったじゃん。そういう感じでさ、エイリアンが訪ねてきた時に変な病原菌を知らずに持ってきてさ、それでみんな死ぬとか超嫌だね。
It could, I mean, why couldn't that happen? That would probably be like if you could show up on Earth with a UFO that has a really strong laser and shoot the White House, but it's much easier to just release a little virus.
Yeah, they'll just land in like a 湿地帯みたいな、you know, and like make contact with water, our water.And then we're done by humanity.
What if they are the virus? Can a virus be intelligent? Or...
Ah, そういうこと? Yeah.
You know, like they're the aliens.
Right.
Like the aliens show up, but they're actually also a virus.
And just by talking to them, we're infected.
The negotiation is whether or not we're going to let them infect our species. And they're trying to convince us that it's a great idea. No, look, there's some negative side effects, but there's a lot of great things will happen too. We can become one. We can become symbiotic.
Right.
Please, please, the last four planets turned us away.This is our last chance.
それ言われたら絶対嫌じゃん。
To find a host.
それ言われたら絶対嫌じゃん。そのバーゲンの仕方間違ってるよ。次。米国科学アカデミー企業に掲載されたスタンフォード大学、デューク大学、ウィスコンシン大学の共同研究で、人は自分に近い遺伝子の人と友人関係を構築していることが分かりました。アメリカに住む5500人のアメリカ人の若者のデータを分析したところ、仲のいい友人同士は他人同士と比較してゲノム全体において類似点が確認できたほか、学習能力や BMI 指数など特定の特徴に関する遺伝子位置にも相関関係が見られました。一方、身長に関してはそれぞれバラバラでした。
A collaborative study by Stanford University, Duke University, and Wisconsin University published in the American Academy of Sciencesfound that people tend to make friendships with people who have similar DNA. The researchers analyzed the data of 5,500 youth living in America and found that people had more genes in common with their friends than with people selected at random. They also found similarities among friends' genes related to learning ability and body mass index. On the other hand, no significant correlation was found for height.
そう。まあなんか結婚してるカップルとかも、もちろん近親者ほど近くはないんだけれども、ある程度なんかこう遺伝子の近いところが見られるっていうデータもあって、hmm. それだけじゃなくてただの友人同士でもそうですねっていう、hmm. で理由としてはまあその特徴をもとに友人を作る、だから同じような学力とか、なんかこう だから結果として話題が合うとか、
hmm.
っていうのもありえるし、まあ、あとそもそも環境的に似た人が集まっているところにそもそもいるからっていう、だから同じ学校に行ってるとか、
うん、
同じ地域に住んでるとか、
うん、
それはどっちかっていうのは分かんないし、どっちもかもしれないけどっていうのは書いてあった。
I think it's almost certainly both of those、
うん、私はでもやっぱなんか前から言ってるけど、そういうこう環境的なものもそうだし、やっぱ匂いだと思う、
うん、
匂いで嗅ぎ分けてると思う、この遺伝子の情報を、うん、だってね、友達とかであのさ、いい匂いの人いない？あ、自分と似てる匂いみたいな、その人が使ってる毛布とか、なんかその人の家のソファーだから、家入った時とかに、あ、なんか落ち着く、自分と同じ種類の匂いみたいな。
I don't consciouslyOr even unconsciously, I think, check that when...
I'm not checking that either, but like, 考えてみると、なんかそういう人が多いんだよね。で、そういう人はもう海外とか別々に離れて住んでても、もう何年でもずっと連絡取って仲良くしてる。
And it's a smell-based, kind of pheromonal relationship.
なんかスメルベースと思って仲良くしてるわけじゃないけど、意識はしてないけど、よく考えるとそういう人ばっかりってこと。
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I tend to think that my friends smell good or don't smell bad.
yeah.
But certainly people who smell badAnd I'm saying bad in a subjective sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm less likely to hang out with them.
そりゃそうだよね。
But I don't know if that's, you know...
Like, when I say smell, it's not like shampoo or perfume or, you know...、Mm. でもその人の匂い。なんかパーティーとかさ。
Is that racist? Is that like smell-ist?
Smell-ist.
right? It's like, oh, those stinky people...Like,
いやでもそれをなんか意識してるわけじゃないもん。意識してより分けてるわけじゃなくて、結果としてっていう。なんかさ、ホームパーティーとか行っていっぱい人いるじゃん、
mm-hmm.
でなんか喋ってて、なんかたまにさ、この人絶対仲良くなれるみたいな時ない？そんなにお互い知らないのに、他の人と比べてなんかピンとくるっていうか、あ、この人みたいな、でも急にすごい仲良くなれちゃうみたいな、私結構あるので、
うん、
それがない人はもう本当に全然、なんだろう、別に仲良くなれないわけじゃないけど、そこまでなんかクリックしないっていうか、
You kind of want to feel like that before you're like halfway in a conversation with someone.
What do you、right? mean though?
Because sometimes I don't know, it's hard for me to figure out exactly what you mean by the whole smell thing, but It is certainly kind of an instinctual. The reasons why we feel like we can become friends with someone or not are not explicitly clear to us during that process.
Yeah.
But as an intuition, it's fairly distinct.
Yeah.
But the reason for that intuition is not clear, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. それが多分 I think that'sSmell, and then maybe I'm aware of it because I have a good nose, and maybe many people are just not aware because, you know, そんなに意識してない。
So you're more discriminating also because you have a good nose.
No, I think we're all the same. It's just that I'm aware. Like, why do I like this person so much, you know? And then I'm like, ah, like, I like her smell. Maybe that's why, みたいな感じで。なんか、そんなロジカルじゃないじゃん、友達って。なんか、この子はこうでこうだから仲いいとかってあんまないじゃん。なんか、優しい人なんていっぱいいるけど、優しいからみんなと仲良くなるわけじゃなくて、その中でもなんかこの子みたいな。それは多分その遺伝子情報を匂いで嗅ぎ分けてるんだと思う。っていう勝手な説。
Right. I like it, sure.
自分の仲いい子とか思い浮かべても本当にそうだもん。もうみんな会った瞬間から、みんなじゃないけど本当に仲いい子は、大人になってからでも会った瞬間からなんか、あ、はい、もう、こっからずっと仲良くなれそうみたいな。
You know, I think this whole story is kind of hard for me to understand or relate to because there aren't that many people that have similar genes to myself. I guess people tend to befriend people that are the same race as them. And of course that's largely incidental.
Right.
But
when I've been thinking of some people when I say close friends who smell nice to me. They're all different races. Like one is white, one is Taiwanese, one is Pakistani とか. So yeah.
Yeah, the vast majority of people aren't hanging out with groups of people that diverse. Most white people have white friends, most black people have black friends, most people have friends of their own racial background, generally speaking, or at least cultural background, I think. I probably have a disproportionate number of friends who are half Japanese and half Western European, racially speaking.
Yeah.
Many more of my friends are mixed race than the average person living around here would have.
Right.
And I think we kind of gravitate toward each other for cultural reasons, incidental reasons. But I don't know. It's incidental. It's cultural. I don't know if there's any... Having genetic material in common is like, I think inevitably makes you more similar people in some ways, right?
まあその方が一緒にいやすいよね、多分。なんかいちいち全部が違ったら結構辛くない？なんか違うところがあった方が面白いけど、全部があまりにも違ったら結構辛いよね、多分。で確かに身長はさあんまりそこに関係ないというかその BMI 要は体重とかってライフスタイルとかも関係あるからすごい走ってるフィットな人は他に走ってる人と仲良くなりたいかもしれないとか食べ過ぎてる人は全然食べない人と一緒にいると辛いとかあるかもしれないけど身長は確かに別にライフスタイルどうこうとか関係ないもんね
Yeah, I don't think soI mean, what are you in the tall people's club? Like, what's going on? Sometimes, I mean, it really depends what you're doing, and it just really depends. I mean, of course, a lot of athletes are going to have a lot of friends that are incredible shape.
そうね。なんかバスケの選手とかだったら友達みんな背高くなるけど、別にそれは背が高いから一緒にいるわけじゃないもんね。バスケってものがあるからだし。
I don't know if this...statistical fact is all that useful in terms of like I don't know what kind of decisions you might change about I guess it's just awareness of our tendencies when we make those or when we have those subconscious intuitions about who we want to hang out with
for me this was just a confirmation for my smell theory.
Okay.
Yeah. 次.
In the last 48 hours, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have crashed, collectively dropping over $100 billion in value and prompting online speculation that it may be the end. The value of Bitcoin itself plummeted from $14,000 to $9,500, and the crash came following calls by various state financial institutions for increased regulations. Within the last week alone, the German Central Bank and French Finance Minister have called for increased regulations, and the Chinese Central Bank called for a ban on centralized trading of cryptocurrencies, stating the following: National and local authorities should ban venues that provide centralized trading of virtual currencies, of which Bitcoin is the largest, and ban individuals or institutions that provide market-making activities. Pseudo-financial innovations that have no relationship with the real economy should not be supported. Since this morning, Bitcoin has recovered from the crash by some 30 or 40%. Within the last month, one Bitcoin has been worth 2.2 million yen and also worth 1.1 million yen.
過去48時間でビットコインやその他の仮想通貨が暴落し、時価総額が1000億ドル以上下落しており、ビットコインの価値はおよそ155万円から105万円に下がっていて、ネットではバブルが崩壊したのではと話題になっています。今回の暴落は各国政府が仮想通貨への規制を発表し始めたことから始まり、先週だけでドイツの中央銀行やフランスの財務大臣が規制の必要性を呼びかけたほか、中国の中央銀行は仮想通貨が実際の経済と関係のない偽りの通貨であるとして取引所を禁止すべきと発表しています。 And you added the last paragraph on. 今朝からビットコインは40% ぐらい回復していて、先月中に、within the last month, 1ビットコインがだから220万円から110万円の間で上下してるってこと。
うん。Yes. It's happening.
でも 40% は回復したんだね、だから。
I don't know where it's at right now. That could have changed quite dramatically. There's a joke that became a meme where a boy asked his Bitcoin investing father for one Bitcoin for his birthday. And the father responds, "What? $15,554. $14,354 is a lot of money. What do you need $16,782 for, anyways?" Like while you're talking,
yeah,
you know, yeah. It's changing. So,
私も友達で仮想通貨、まあ、いっぱいあるじゃん。今ビットコインだけじゃなくて、それにどんどん投資してる人いるけど。なんかビットコイン、まあ、私は全然金融詳しくないからあれなんだけど、私の中でなんかビットコインがすごいいいなって思ってたのはコモディティとしてじゃなくて通貨として、その中央集権じゃないっていうところがいいなって思ったんだけど、急にまあ日本でもすごいみんなが買い始めて、本当にただの投資のコモディティになっちゃったじゃん。なんかそれは当たり前なのかもしれないんだけど、なんかそれがすごい。
If that were true, I think it would collapse. If it was only an investment
vehicle. But for most people it is now, no?
For most people perhaps.
Yeah, it's like they're just, you know, you just invest in it and then sell it and invest in other cryptocurrencies.
Right,
then,
right.
Know.
But if that is all it is, if that was all it is, it would be toast.
But I'm just saying that it's turning into that. Like for most people, it's not currency, it's just commodity. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, to me, sad, because I thought the point of it or the coolness of it was that it was a currency with no central bank. But now it's like people are saying そのここまでガーって値段が上がった背景をよく調べると一個人か、まあ、一団体が一気に2011年だか2年だかに押し上げてる。だから結局その数少ない人たちにマニピュレートされてここまで来てるっていう歴史があって、別にだからって何が変わるわけじゃないんだけど、なんかそういうなんか中央集権じゃなくてみんなのものっていうのがイケてる感じだったのに、結局なんかこう一部の人がこうマニピュレートしてるっていうことになるとつまんないなって思っちゃう。
Well, all markets are subject to that exact thing. I think there's probably less ways in which people can interfere with Bitcoin than in most other markets. However, the magnitude of that interference in Bitcoin can be much, much larger because the market capitalization is not that great.
Right.
I guess the discussion right now is what is the fate of Bitcoin? Is Bitcoin dead? What is the fate of cryptocurrencies? Are they dead? If they're not dead, what role will they play in the future? Because they can't simply be, you know, this kind of pump and dump investment vehicle for people who, you know, are trying to get rich quick.
Yeah.
You know, people who are trying to get rich quick are inherently have the intention of selling. And they do, and it dips dramatically, and then we have this kind of cycle of like, oh, it's so cheap right now, it's the best time to get in, you know. And yeah, it's always I don't know, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen to Bitcoin eventually?
I don't know, I have no idea.
Do you think that someone knows, or do you think no one knows?
え、みんな分かんないんじゃないの？分かってる人なんているの？むしろだって今までないことじゃん。だからまあ多分各国の政府とか中央銀行とかもさ、わーわーわー、what's going on みたいな感じなわけじゃん、
mm-hmm.
ちょっと規制も何にもないで急に走り出してるけどいいんですかねこれはみたいな、
mm-hmm.
韓国もなんか言ってたよね、規制した方がいいんじゃないかとかっていうの。
いや、There are people behind working on cryptocurrencies who believe that involvement of governments is absolutely critical to the mainstream adoption of Bitcoin.
Right.
And they had been quite optimistic about being able to make these deals for cryptocurrencies in countries like China. Mm. And I think that may have kind of inflated the value of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, especially when a statement as strong as the one we just read comes out from the Chinese central bank. But I don't think that government involvement is necessary for the survival or widespread adoption of cryptocurrencies.
Right.
So when I heard that news or read that statement, I didn't actually think that people would jump off Bitcoin as much as they did. Obviously they did. So apparently people seem to think that government acceptance of Bitcoin is important to the future of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. But and there's so many of these things now. You have the Dogecoin, Kanye coin, Ethereum Classic, Litecoin, Monacoin. There's so many coins. Right. There's seriously... They have Kodak coin. Kodak came out with their own coin.
Okay.
I think Japan is probably the most friendly to Bitcoin right now. Mm. And Japan and China are taking quite opposite stances.
Mm.
You have some Japanese banks involved in certain cryptocurrencies. I think like XMR or Ripple. But all of this stuff is extremely risky. And people that are putting, you know, any significant portion of your... I mean, I know people who don't have tons of money lying around who are putting, you know, $5,000, $10,000 into this stuff.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't try to play this this game of, you know, buying on the dips and selling on the peaks. I have some Bitcoin, but I just threw like a few mon at it.
Yeah.
And I haven't touched it. I haven't sold it. It's right. gone straight up. It's gone straight down. I think
some months ago, someone on Twitter was like, oh yeah, Michael has like whatever amount of Bitcoin, so he must be a millionaire now.
Oh, no.
I'm like, no way.
I'm not a millionaire. You know I don't spend money on anything. Is there anything new? Yeah. No. Well, I
don't know where that came from, but I was like, no
well,
way.
Well, we've talked about Bitcoin for a long time, and I was quite high on Bitcoin when it was worth very little.
Yeah.
And I did receive Bitcoin from someone on the internet back then.
Right.
But I don't know where that is, and I don't know how much Bitcoin that was.
Mm.
It might be somewhere. I could be. I could actually, maybe not right now, but maybe later.
Maybe not today. 次.
In a paper titled Impacts of Orbital Elements of Space-Based Laser Station on Small-Scale Space Debris Removal, scientists at the Air Force Engineering University in China have outlined plans to place powerful lasers in Earth's orbit that would be capable of targeting and incinerating debris fragments in an effort to clean up the orbit. The United States has demonstrated their XN1 LAWS laser weapon system, which was mounted on the USS Ponce amphibious battleship, by effortlessly igniting drones, RPGs, and small boats even at a great distance. A similar system could be deployed for orbital debris removal.
中国の空軍工科大学のチームが地球の軌道上に Excuse me. 地球の軌道上に強力なレーザーを設置し、宇宙ゴミに照準を合わせて焼却し、軌道を掃除する案を発表しました。Excuse me. アメリカ政府は XN1LAWS と呼ばれるレーザーシステムをポンスに搭載しており、遠くからでもドローンやグレネードランチャー、小型船などを簡単に燃やすことが可能で、同様のシステムが宇宙ゴミにも使えると考えられています。
Yes.
これね、
Space
Air Force Engineering University in China っていうのが日本語に訳されていなくて中国語しかなかったんだよね。だから適当に空軍工科大学って訳したから違ったらすいません。
It seems real. Sounds real to me.
Right?
I believed
Sounds
it.
Sounds legit, right?
I totally believed it.
Anyway.
Yeah, so the orbital debris problem, space junk, is getting, naturally gets worse on its own over time.
Yeah. なんか中国とロシア結構宇宙ゴミの話やってるよね。
Well, China famously exploded one of their satellites with a missile and generated like hundreds of thousands of pieces of debris. It's the largest space debris generating event in the history of space.
それをどうにかしなきゃと思ってるからより力を入れてるってことか。やべ、めっちゃゴミ出しちゃったみたいな。
Well,I mean, they don't want to bring that up, but it's a major contributor to the problem we have today. So yeah, they want to put a laser in space, and of course people are pointing out, well, if you put a laser in space that can blow stuff up, we want to have a laser in space that can blow stuff up, or at least we don't feel safe if you have a laser in space that can blow stuff up.
Okay.
Right.
So this becomes political.
Of course, it's political. Because you can't just install a giant laser.
でもみんなでさ、みんなでインベストしてみんなのものってすればいいんじゃないの？なんかもう中国、ロシア、アメリカ、日
本、yeah, but then you know that
韓国とかもみんな、ヨーロッパも。
Yeah, and how many different secret switches will be installed in that thing by different countries? Where the US and the Russia are hitting override buttons at the same time.
That's stupid.
So there are clear obstacles to a solution like this because the laser could be aimed elsewhere. But we do know that these kinds of lasers are quite effective.
Okay.
And the laws or the laser weapon system that they had mounted on the USS Ponce, you've seen the video of that thing, right?
No.
It doesn't make any sound.
Hmm.
You can't see the laser because it's infrared.
Oh.
It's pretty much the most accurate weapon ever invented.
What?
And you can't miss because you don't have to lead the target. What you're shooting travels at the speed of light.
Hmm.
You can't dodge the bullet.
でもさ、その間にさ、なんかが入ってきたらそれも当たっちゃうの?
Yeah.
鳥とか?
Yeah. So if a bird flies between your space laser and, you know,
or if you're like swimming in the ocean.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, what if you just whipped out a mirror and just bounced it back?
You can do that?
Why not? But then they might whip out a mirror.
And so then it becomes like the Harry Potter situation, right?
The Harry Potter situation is not a widely recognized idiom.
It is? Okay, you've seen Harry Potter, right? Harry Potter
がさ、I saw one of them.
Harry Potter がさ、ボルデモートと戦う時とかにさ、
uh-huh.
こう、杖から、お互いの杖からビビビビっていうのが出てて、
mm-hmm.
でもお互い強いからもうビビビってなったまま膠着状態になるみたいな。Yeah.
And then what happens?
I forget. Well, Harry Potter has to win, right?
Is that what happens?
I guess I don't really remember.
Oh my god. You're acting like this is a famous scene in some classic movie.
It is. I can just picture it in my head. I just don't remember what happens afterwards, but...
Hmm.
Yeah, but this mirror situation would look
I don't know
more
if the,
silly.
I just pulled the mirror thing out. I don't know I don't know if that would work. Because if your opponents install space lasers, then I guess you start chrome plating everything you own.
Hmm.
Right?
Oh, so you can prevent it.
I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
But the video of the laser weapon system that they had mounted on that ship, it would destroy a UAV or a drone in 2 seconds.
Okay.
In less than 2 seconds. And it would only cost them 59 cents to do so. If you have other weaponry requires expensive ammunition that needs to be manufactured and transported and stored. And I don't know if the mirror thing... I shouldn't have brought up the mirror.
Because I'm just thinking, like, if you put mirrors all over your drone, then you're basically invincible.
I know.
And you can outsmart all of these people and the U.S. government, and it just doesn't sound right.
No one's brought up the mirror thing, as far as I know.
Okay.
No one... Yeah. Can you imagine the meeting where these guys, you know, were, like... Northrop or one of these major companies is trying to sell the U.S. government this laser weapon, and they show it blowing up all this stuff.
Yeah,
they put it in space, and it's and then someone raises their hand and it's like, yeah, but what if they have a mirror? It's like, oh, they invented they invested like 40 billion.
Damn.
40 billion? That can't be right. Some enormous amount of money in making this laser. The laser weapon that they have, that they're using right now, has a solid state array of 6 different lasers that converge in a single point.
Hmm.
And so these 6 lasers are all focused on one point that is on the target.
Okay.
And it makes it extremely hot. And so the way you would remove space debris is by heating up some surface of the debris object, and that would cause gas to be released. And the release of that gas would change the orientation or perhaps the speed of the object.
今もゴジラのことしか考えてないからね。
And deorbit.
ゴジラ。ゴジラもなんかさ、こういうなんか
The laser.
冷たいさ、やつをさ、こうゴジラの口に入れるみたいな。だったじゃん、シンゴジラ。
What's the 冷たいやつ？
なんかゴジラの中すごい熱いからこう冷やしちゃえばいいやみたいな感じでさ、口になんかこうレーザーみたいの入れるみたいなあったじゃん。
Was it a laser?
わかんない。
What did they put inside ゴジラ？
なんか冷たいやつ。 I don't remember、
mm.
でもとにかくこのなんかシュートしてる何かを、
mm.
こう口に入れるみたいじゃなかったっけ、
mm. I just remember the English. I don't remember、yeah. anything else.
Juice on percent.
Yeah, juice on percent.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. あれだけなければね、本当最高だったんだけどね。Anyway.
They have a space treaty, the 1966 Outer Space Treaty, which says that no nukes or weapons of mass destruction...can be placed in space. But currently、okay. there's no rules against placing other weapons in space. And、mm. The first weapon that was installed in space was actually in the 1970s. It was called the Almaz space station,、which was put up there by the Russians. And it had a 23mm cannon
For what?
That could be、Future、fired.
Star Wars situation?
I think they actually did test fire that cannon in space.
Whoa.
But it was a cannon designed for aircraft.、
Hmm.
But even the cosmonauts on their other space stations, I think, carried pistols.、
Hmm.
Because they were... If someone tried to board your spacecraft and take over your space station,
You're just going to shoot them in space?
The strategy was if here's some gun.
Inside space station?
Yeah.
You want to be shooting guns? Like what?
Well, if the space station was destroyed, that would be better than it being taken over by enemies.
Right.
But yeah, you don't want to fire a gun inside of a space station, ideally.
Yeah.
But they had firearms just in case people tried to, you know, or aliens. Who knows? If you just one day you wake up and you look outside the window and there's some crazy looking 27 armed creature on the side of your spacecraft, on the side of the International Space Station, you would reach for your revolver.I'm gonna go outside and shoot this thing.
Really?
I don't know.
I'll just leave like George Clooney style. Like, psh, 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 psh. I'll just like,
no,
bye.
That thing's tentacle would just immediately snatch you and you'd be devoured.
Eaten alive.
But what is the protocol right now? If, let's say, for example...
Yeah, what is the protocol right now?
An astronaut woke up and there was just some...kind of monster growing on the side of the space station.
Yeah, what is the protocol right now? What are they supposed to do?
Contact Houston. Houston.
That's it?
We have a problem. There's a giant thing attached to the side
trying
of this.
Trying to eat us.
I don't know what the protocol is for that. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you don't want to shoot it.
Is there a protocol for that?There has to be, right? There has to be like a 想定シナリオみたいな like crisis manual.
Yeah.
Scenario 155.
Well, what do they do in an airplane? Remember that there's a famous episode of The Twilight Zone where the guy looks out the window and there's a creature on the wing of the plane there, the 747.
Okay. Like 座ってるってこと?
Yeah, it's like hanging out.
Oh, okay.
On the wing.
Yeah.
Some little demon-looking vile creature.
Okay.
And he's like, oh my god. He like shuts the shade because he doesn't want the creature to see him, I guess. And he's like, what? Oh my God. There's... And then he like opens it again to see if it's still there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't see it. And then he sees it climb up over the back of the wing and it starts ripping pieces of metal out of the engine. And then, so this guy freaks out. He's like, oh my God, there's something on the wing. There's something like destroying the engine. And the flight attendant is just like, shh, calm down. You're going to freak people out. There's nothing. And then she like looks out the window. There's nothing. Like the creature has disappeared.
Okay.
And it's like, you're causing a disturbance. And like, he's the only guy that's seen the creature.
Oh.
Anyways, not sure where we're going with this story. But what do you do if you see a creature on the wing of an aircraft? You land the plane, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, but you can't land the space station, right?
Right.
Do you evacuate the space station or do you have the astronauts investigate? Because those are your main two options, right? The astronauts can investigate the alien on the side of the space station or... you can evacuate.
Yeah, and after watching all the alien movies, we all know that you should not investigate, right? You should just leave.
Just leave.
Yeah. That's what we learn, right? From these movies. You just don't go check it out. It's always like, yeah, let me just go check it out. And then they never come back.
Yeah. If we, yeah.
See?
If it's like a movie. Faith Leaks, a transparency and whistleblower organization aimed at religious groups, has released documents detailing an internal investigation of sexual abuse within a Jehovah's Witness congregation. The documents span from 1999 to 2012 and indicate that community leaders avoided reporting accusations of abuse to the police. The founders of Faith Leaks, two ex-Mormons, believe that through transparency using the internet, there can be fewer untruths, less corruption, and less abuse within religious organizations.
宗教団体の透明化と告発を目的としたフェイスリークスという団体が、キリスト教系の新興宗教団体エホバの証人の性的虐待に関する内部調査文書を公表しました。文書は1999年から2012年にかけてのもので、団体の内部で起きた性的虐待について、団体幹部が隠蔽し、警察に届け出なかったことが示されています。フェイスリークスは元モルモン教信者2人が創設したもので、インターネットを使って透明性を追求することで、宗教団体による事実の隠蔽や汚職、虐待などを減らすことを目指していると述べています。面白いね。もういっぱいあるだろうね。こんなの公表するもの。
Well, obviously an example of this that has received the most attention is what happened with the Vatican, the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And the really enormous pedophilia rings and harboring and
yeah.
The whole moving people from different churches, you know, there's very clear strategies that have been employed here to kind of skirt around the law in many cases.
Yeah. そうだね。大体いつも同じだよね。だからこう、まあキリスト教の教会とかもそうだけど、警察には届け出ずに、まあなかったことにして、その神父は首にせず。他の国なり地域に送って何事もなかったようにまた始めて、でそこでまた被害者が出たらまた違うところに移してみたいな感じで。
I think it's something that can happen in any sort of community. It could happen in some remote village. It could happen in some kind of bizarre tight-knit company, or it can happen in certain communities. That go to the same cocktail parties or something. But there's something a little bit more organized and systematic, it seems, in these religious organizations where they have kind of a consensus procedure among themselves about how to deal with certain things like this.
あとなんかそのやっぱり、会社とかと違って隠蔽したくなっちゃう原因っていうのがあるわけじゃない。 それはまさにその宗教団体だからっていうその自分たちが普段説いているこうじゃなきゃいけませんとかこういうことしちゃいけませんっていうのと全く真逆のことをまあ上の方にいる人とかがやってしまっているときにまあその宗教自体にダメージがあるからなるべくならバレたくないなるべくなら言いたくないっていう心理が働いちゃうっていうのはあると思うよね。まあしかも周りからの目もそれによってより厳しいだろうしあ普段言ってることと全然違うじゃんっていうだからまあそういうこういうことはいっぱいあるんだろうなと思うけど
They at one point they refer to in the documents they refer to the legal system the national the country's legal system as the worldly court of law and it implies that there's a distinction between the court of law in the world outside of the church and with how things are, you know, carried out within the church itself. And obviously the assumption is that within any religious organization, the assumption is that the religious organization itself has a much better understanding, fundamental understanding of reality and morality
right.
than the legal system does, and certainly politicians and people in government, right? And so from their perspective, it's not obviously immoral for them to do this.
Mm.
You know, even the victims would perceive this to be as a more moral
yeah.
carrying out of procedure.
Yeah. そうだね。まあだからより闇が深いよね。
Mm. Scientology's had a lot of people come out over the last few years
yeah.
and say a lot of things about specifically Tom Cruise, but also Scientology in general and yeah. kind of how it's structured, all the different levels of enlightenment and there's like deep levels of mind blowing where it's like actually all that shit we taught you for the last year and a half was not true but you had to be taught it so that you could learn this truth which is the next level shit
yeah
you know that kind of stuff where there's a very solid hierarchy of knowledge and thus authority where it's like well you haven't been taught the secrets how can you complain or how can you know where why should you yeah. you know what's your basis for thinking that you have better judgment than we do when we've withheld the secrets
いやまあなんか結構同じパターンだよねそのサイエントロジーもそうだし例えばオウム真理教とかもそうだけど導入部分は本当にもう説得力がある一般的に言われているような自己啓発みたいなこと、
うん、
で本当にそう正しいことの方が多くて誰が聞いてもあそうだよなって思うようなところだからそこから入っていってだんだんこうレベルアップするごとにエイリアンの話とかになっていくわけで、うん、とかなんかあの競争は空が飛べますとかになっていくんだけど、まあ、そこにたどり着く頃にはもう思いっきり両足使っちゃってるみたいな、
うん、
だからこうね最初からとんでもない話だと誰も信じないかもしれないけどなんとなくこう段階を踏んでいくと
Well, I think religions are mostly trueI think most religions are mostly true.
Yeah.
They are mostly true. And a lot of the stuff they teach, you should study. And if you're not in a religion, probably no one is going to teach you that stuff. However, many of the conclusions of ideologies are dangerous and mutually exclusive. And there's so many, you know, it's like,like Tom Cruise is an effective guy like no one yeah. no one can deny that he's an effective guy you know there was that study that I sent you about internet use correlated to a lack of religious affiliation and the author of that study pointed out that the internet itself in addition todrawing skepticism to ideologies through things like this story also brings people's awareness to the fact that there are so many different religions.
Yeah. Wait, so これは具体的に何だったの?
Well, there were... You mean the cases themselves, like what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in one case that was in these documents, there were multiple daughters, two daughters of this man. The first daughter had accused... The older daughter had accused him of raping her since she was like 12 years old or something.
Okay.
And then the other daughter also made the same accusations. And then an unrelated woman in the church made a rape accusation towards him. And so there were the leaders at Jehovah's Witness investigated these accusations and concluded internally among themselves that they believed that the sexual abuse of those daughters did in fact occur.
Okay.
They, in their correspondence, they're like, yeah, we think this happened.
Okay.
But they still did not go to the police at that point either. What ended up happening is they suspended him from the church for 1 year, I think. I don't think it was...
That's it?
I think he was later accepted back into the church. But there were just... I think there were multiple cases like this where, you know, they don't take anything to this worldly court of law. They don't really have the same... You know, people have a lot of different ideas about justice, too, and what should be done. And religious communities tend to be, they don't want people to leave, and they don't want to, you know, excommunicate someone. And they are actively recruiting people who do not have a good moral past, because oftentimes the people who come and want to join the church are people who have committed crimes that they have not been arrested for, and have a guilty conscience, and try to rebuild themselves from zero. And so they come, they go to churches. I mean, this is from my personal experience being at a church. They try to bring in people who are evil, and from their perspective, but want to become better people. And so there's also an element of, you know, they don't want to take these people that are coming to the church and confessing things and take them to the police.
Right.
Because then people won't go to the church.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that makes sense, you know? Like, you know, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole concept of confession, right? Like, you talk to the priest and then the priest is not supposed to tell everybody.
And the idea that they can process this whole thing internally, I think partly comes from that too.
Yeah, but I mean, if there are victims in your church, you know, if it was after he joined the church and then he's raping women who are also in the church, then it's like, it's almost like enforcing it. It's like, oh, you know, you can come into our church and rape women and all you get is just a year suspension.
Right. Well, they don't have prison cells. They don't have, they don't have a court. They don't have any of the tools that society has in general agreed is are the best for dealing with these kinds of people. And so this kind of moral sovereignty that religious communities might feel they have, I think will likely get them in trouble. But also, on the other hand, for them to completely dissolve all of that and operate entirely according, you know, openly according to the laws of society at large, I mean, there's probably an ideological conflict there.
Right. これからだからどういうのが出てくるんだろうね、これ。
Well, these people that started Faith Leaks previously, they also started Mormon Leaks, in which they had released that internal memo stating that... I may botch this, but do you remember the particulars of that one?
No.
It was like the children of a gay couple cannot be members of the church unless they denounce their parents.
Whoa.
And that was leaked as, that was an internal document in the Mormon church, and that was leaked by Mormon leaks, and that was widely criticized.
Hmm. Ah, それはだから公の情報じゃないかったってこと?
Hmm.
Hmm. But that's, if that's the rule, then isn't it supposed to be somewhat public?
Well, I think that was being circulated around because...
Or they were still discussing.
Yeah, I don't know if, I don't know if that's the hard rule right now. But that was in an internal document that was being circulated, and yeah, people didn't like that.
Hmm.
But I think I wish that there was some greater transparency just in general between all the ideologies that can just kind of just come out and admit, like, that I don't know how to explain it, but there's so much the communities are so closed off, and there's this kind of unsaid judgment of people who are not part of the community,
right?
And it kind of creates this weird virtual reality that religious people live in, and I don't think you need to live in that.
まあ特にそのキリスト教っていうのはもともと、まあ私はキリスト教の学校に行って、そこのシスターとか神父自身で言ってたことだけど、そのキリスト教っていうのはもともと排他主義で、こう選民意識がある、こう自分たちは選ばれた民であるとか、まあエクソダスとかもそうだけども、その自分とそうじゃない人みたいな、こう内と外ですごい分かれているものだから、当然その団体とかコミュニティも内と外で分かれていて、内輪でしか分からないよねみたいな感じの雰囲気があるわけだから、だから確かにそんなさっきマイケルが言ってたみたいに、その宗教的に抱えてる倫理への考え方とか、じゃあ何か悪いことした時にその悪いことした人をどういうふうに扱うかっていう考え方と、その住んでる国の刑罰とか法律と必ずしもそれが一致してない。だからそれもだから内輪でしか分かってなくて、外から見ると全く分からないってなっちゃうと確かに怖いよね。だそれはなんか違うんですっていうのを、違うんですって言って、じゃあそれはみんながあそうですかっていうわけにもいかないから大声で言えないんだろうけど、ただそこがなんか隠されてると、その中で被害者が出ちゃった時にその人たちが一番苦しむことになっちゃうよね。
I think so.
今後に期待ですね。じゃあこれもっといっぱい出てきそうだもんね。
You know how like right now a very small proportion of the world is secular, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as that approaches 50% of the global population, there will be a lot of tension between people who believe who have a religion that they believe in and people who are secular. And I don't know if that's going to cause just an intolerable amount of tension, or can this be kind of reconciled? These communities are so closed off from the rest of society,
yeah,
that as the rest of society becomes increasingly secular, I feel like religious communities may try to insulate themselves more.
どうだろうね。その日本国内で例えば考えた時に、すごい敬虔なクリスチャンですっていう人の方が少ないわけじゃん、日本人で見た時ね。ただじゃあそういう人たちがもうすごい強固に、なんていうの、うちはうちみたいな風になってるかっていうと、そういうわけでもないじゃん。っていうのは、そのもともと多分日本で信心深くない人っていうのは、まあ仏教とか神道とかがベースになってる人が多いから、その他の宗教を排除しないといけないとかっていうふうに思ってない、から何ていうの、そのエイティエスみたいなすごい強く思ってるわけじゃないじゃん。なんか信じてないけど、別に信じてる人がいればそれはそれでいいんじゃないぐらいの感じだから、その信心深い人も別にそこまでこうグッとなる必要がないっていうかさ。
Certainly Japan seems like it's somewhat immune to all of this.
But, yeah, well,
there was kind of an oddly smooth, well, it wasn't completely smooth, but a transition from a very ideological country into one that isn't, but while maintaining its traditions and its culture at the same time.
でもそれは多分世界で見たときに結構レアじゃん。
It was a homogeneous transition. Everyone transitioned together. You know, like, yeah. It's kind of, I just don't see that happening elsewhere like that. You know?
なんか一応ね、その隠れキリシタンの時代とかはさ、もう本当にそれこそ内外で、ね、こっそりこう、キリスト教を信じてる人がいて、すごい迫害されたりとかもしてたわけだから。ただどうだろうね。
I'm just concerned because I see a lot of hostility from atheist communities or secular communities towards, you know, religion and religious belief. And I certainly had a phase of my life where I was quite guilty of doing that. But it kind of rubs me the wrong way these days when the reality is that no one knows shit, and so there isn't really a reason to shit on someone for believing something unless those beliefs result in them, you know, directly affecting your life or directly affecting other people's lives.
Yeah. まあそれは多分基本的に日本人のほとんどの人はなんかナチュラルにできてると思うんだよね。
But that may need to be exported to the rest of the planet if we're going to hold this thing together. Because it's certainly not that way in Western culture. And...
まあだってすごい根強いからね。だってアメリカなんてさ、その裁判所に行った時にその聖書に手を置いて宣誓しなきゃいけないわけじゃない、嘘つきませんとかって。もうそっからしてもうさ、もう根本のところに宗教がありますって言ってるようなものであってさ、その裁判所で嘘つくことがダメだから嘘つかないっていうよりかは、神に見られてるからっていう方が効果があるからそれをやらせるわけじゃない、とか、あんまりこう政教分離されてないと。
For as much as people rag on religion, the word godless still has a very negative connotation.You know, if this is a godless nation, you know, it's just a bunch of savages running around, you know, hedonistic, just endless garden party, orgiastic festivals to the end of time. You know, it's like, what assumptions can you make about a community that is, in fact, godless? You know, it's, it worries us because we're so aware of, you know,
like,
human nature.
私はそういうなんか organized religions は好きじゃないんだけど、それでもやっぱりなんか例えばアメリカのオンラインフォーラム見てると基本みんな優しかったりして、 like、
Depends.
その fertility forum とか、
okay, well
because if you go to the Japanese one, everyone is so mean、yeah. And I was thinking, like, why is it so different? And then I was like, maybe it's because of Christianity. Like maybe deep down people are like, oh, you know, you have to be nice to each other, or like God is watching you. And maybe it's there. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't really know why. Maybe it has nothing to do with religion. I really don't know. But sometimes I feel like maybe, you know, it's helping because if you go to the Japanese forum, people really like say shit that they don't need to say, and they, or they say things in a very unnecessarily mean way, and you don't see that in real life. You know, people are usually very polite and nice, but online it's a different story, and I'm just like, maybe it's the religion, I don't know.
But is that online, is that
それは分かんないんだよね。だからなんか例えばすごいよくあるのは、何か質問した時にあのアメリカのフェルティリティフォーラムだったら、ああなんか 分かんない人でも、あ、それ分かんないけどどうだろうねとか、なんかみんな普通に言うんだけど、日本はなんかそんなの分かりません、自分で調べてくださいとか、なんかわざわざ意地悪なことを書くんだよねとか、なんかそんな質問をなんかしてるようじゃんみたいな、なんかでその質問自体したこと自体をクリサイするとか、なんかこうそんなことは言わなくてもいい、あとなんか心配してる人とか、こうなってどうしようって言ってる人に対して、なんかそこに石をぶつけるようなことをあえて言ってるとか、そういう人ばっかりってわけじゃないんだけど、その英語の方のフォーラムと比べたら全然多い。なんでそういう言い方するのかなっていう、
well、
まあ結構ビクティムシェイミング的なこともあると思うんだけど、
I think there's a sense that some people develop after living in specifically places like Tokyo or Osaka for a long time, that people are just, it's just a bunch of usernames. Whereas a lot of people in America are, they live in small communities. They've never had the dehumanizing sight of Hachiko crossing, where you're seeing just boatloads of humans that aren't doing you any good. You know, it's where each interaction with another human being is a relatively personal one.
In some places of the world, countryside versus city life type situation, like
I think so.
Population density issue.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's something dehumanizing about there being a lot of humans.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds, you know, when you're in a tall building and you look down and you see like just thousands of people,
yeah,
it's kind of like,
maybe I've talked about this, but なんかその不妊治療のブログとか見てても、まあ海外だったらずっとこう不妊治療してますって書いてて、あ、ついに妊娠しましたみたいな、
mm-hmm.
でみんな、あ、よかったねよかったねみたいな、でも日本はこうついに妊娠しましたっていうのがすごい申し訳ないみたいな感じで、みんな先にディスクレーマー書いてるのね。なんか今日これから自分はその陽性のピースティックの写真を載せるから注意みたいな、なんか見たくない人は見ないでねみたいな。でもさ、そんなディスクレーマーをみんな書いてるってことは、それを書かないと怒る人がいるっていうことじゃん。なんか私はまだやってるのにそんなハッピーなニュース書いてひどいとか、
うん、
なんかそれは何なのかなっていう。ただ実際の生活でそんな意地悪な人別に日本で見るわけじゃないから、オンラインだとなんかこうストレス発す、もうそのまま感じたままに言っちゃう人がいるっていうことなのか、なんか違いはよくわかんないけど。
Well, I certainly think that, to bring it back to religious belief, I think that having faith in something like that, that'sKind of looking out for you, makes it much easier for you to have a positive mindset when your immediate circumstances may not seem to warrant that.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, just like, you know, God has given me this challenge and, you know, this kind of thinking, you know.
Well, like, it'll work out. You're going to heaven. Relax, you know.
Yeah. So maybe that,
but if that's not there,
maybe that helps people to be nice to other people as well, because they have this 心の余裕 maybe.
But in times of difficulty, you tend to have more existential thoughts, and those thoughts aren't particularly encouraging if you're a secular person.
Hmm.
For example, like a few...
I guess it depends, though. Like, when my cat died, I thought it was easier for me because I wasn't religious. Then I didn't have to ask God why this is happening to me, or, you know, what is the meaning of this cat's life? Like,
sure.
I didn't have to question my religion, or I didn't have to question the intention of my God.
But if something happens to you directly, if something is happening to you directly, it's a bit different.It's not about, you know, the whole afterworld discussion so much as it, can you get through this, you know, and your ability to actually get through something can rely on your own faith in some outcome that may not be immediately obvious. Like, this is kind of a weird example, but you know, a few months ago when I had that testicular pain,
right.
and I thought it was the end, and I thought I had this testicular torsion, and I was going to lose my ball and be in the exact same boat as
Tanaka-san.
And I got on an ambulance, and it was, but I, at some point I had to, I had accepted this reality that I was going to lose my testicle,
yeah,
which didn't happen, just to clarify, but I had accepted it within my own mind, and it was a terrifying thing. And my family was there before I was getting in this ambulance and stuff. And I didn't want to be emotional in front of them. There was no point in me kind of freaking out about this. It may not sound like a big deal to females, but if you're a guy, it's a,
females.
If you're a guy with balls, you understand. It's like it'll make you freak out. But part of me wanted to reach out to something beyond this physical scientific world and just be like, dude, I'm not asking you to change the laws of physics, but just let me get through this shit. Like,
so you were talking to God?
In my head, yeah. I was talking to God in my head. Because it was just like, because I can look around and it's like, okay, there's humans. They're not going to help me. There's doctors. They're just going to do whatever needs to be done. And based on my research, I was completely convinced that I was screwed. And when I got to the hospital, the emergency room, they thought that they were going to have to perform surgery. They took my blood. They took the scans, the whole thing. I was prepped to have my testicle removed. And then an additional surgeon called in at the last second, confirmed that none of this was happening, which is still bizarre to me. But there is that impulse that I think people have that maybe they're not aware of exists within themselves, because I wouldn't have expected myself to reach for that kind of.
But don't you think it's because you have this Mormon background where you're kind of used to, or you used to do that when you were small, maybe, or you're used to this concept or the idea of mentally talking to God.
Well, I will say that I have not mentally talked to God or said a prayer in well over a decade, over 10 years. It was just on the way to the hospital that it really prompted that for me. It's not something.
But when you say that your childhood experience,
I mean, my child
stayed with you, and
I mean, sure. I mean, you could assume that my childhood experience is there. I certainly can't completely discount that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a common impulse in people to, if you were on your deathbed, if something appeared to be left up to pure luck, you know, can something hear you at all? Or are you screaming into the abyss? And if you are screaming into the abyss, does that hurt? I don't think it does. It doesn't help, but
yeah. It's just that the concept sounds so foreign to me.
Yeah.
That like bad things have happened to me, but it never even occurred to me to mentally talk to someone out there or
well, it's
something
like,
out there, or even there's something out there to talk to at all.
Well, you can say out there, you can say in here, within yourself, you can say everywhere. I don't know where you're talking to.
Right.
But the point is that you're letting your wish or your intention be heard by
someone.
Someone. maybe it's only yourself. But I don't know if that matters. Does it matter if someone's listening? You know? Like,
it could, right?
I don't know.
That's why you do that, no?
Well, that was the only time that I'd done it in a very long time. But only because I thought I was going to lose my ball. I was going to lose my balls. And
or ball, right? One.
It didn't even take a near-death experience. I kind of wussed out, I'll admit. I tapped out a little bit early on that one. But I had to invoke God over... No, it's scary. Apparently, it's common and it happens to people. Like, it's a real serious thing.
And cats, too.
And it happens to cats?
Our cats don't have balls.
Oh, I mean the testicular torsion thing.
They stole them when they were babies.
Yeah, that's sad.
Anyway, Mojokoshi no tekisto wa Mac と iPhone、iPad、Android のバイリンガルニュース公式アプリからチェックできますので試してみてください。最初の1話目から3話目までは無料で、月額240円で全部のテキスト読み放題という激安プランもやっています。発言の自由を守るためにスポンサーをつけずに自腹で運営していますので、気に入ったら使っていただけると大変助かります。単語テスト機能とかもついてるし、あと月額240円のプランだと、リーディング練習用のエッセイもついていきますというわけで、昨日だっけ、mm-hmm. 私のエッセイ新しく追加したのでぜひ読んでみてください、
yep.
インスタグラム、ツイッター、フェイスブックやっているのでそちらもフォローお願いします。
It's a beautiful song.
そうだね、そう、歌の歌詞から英語を勉強するといいよみたいな話を書いたんで、mm-hmm. ぜひぜひ。終わり、
以上です。
バイ。
バイ。